Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
From the frozen tundra to your airwaves, it's time for 9 to noon.
John Kuhn, a touchdown Packers.
The ultimate midday hangout for Packers talk, Wisconsin sports, and everything in between. He's a Super Bowl champion.
Underneath Kuhn for the touchdown.
A Green Bay legend.
Look at John Kuhn running for the first down and keep it going. Moving the pile all the way to the 6-yard line.
And Lambeau's favorite fullback, John Kuhn. He's bringing the heat, the humor, and just the right amount of chaos. Rami Makhlouf. Together, they're breaking it all down, debating every angle, and having a little fun while doing it. This is 9 to noon on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network.
It is hour 2 of 9 to noon. There is John Kuhn, the former Packers fullback, three-time Pro Bowler, Super Bowl champion. I'm Rami Makhlouf, Brandon Snide. Along for the ride, coming up this hour, our pick six. We'll take a six-pack of games across the NFL and pick them against the spread. In 1 hour, to start the 11 o'clock hour, we'll talk with the voice of your Green Bay Packers on the Packers Radio Network, Wayne Larrabee. But joining us now on the guest hotline, powered by Gruber Law, one call, that's all. He covers the Packers for The Athletic, also hosts the Tundra podcast along with John Kuhn. Pleasure to welcome in Matt Schneidman. Matt, how are you this morning, my man?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good. Real good. Is the most dangerous thing about this Vikings team on Sunday is that they're just desperate, a desperate wounded animal with their playoff lives hanging by a thread?
You could say that. I still think the most dangerous thing is this Brian Flores defense that can throw a lot of different looks at you pre and post snap against the Packers offensive line that I would argue is the team's biggest weakness right now. And then there's arguably the second-best wide receiver in the NFL, and Justin Jefferson. And I know J.J. McCarthy's had some accuracy issues, but if Justin Jefferson can get open, that always poses an issue. So this is no cakewalk for the Green Bay Packers on Sunday.
Yeah, that was my number one key, is the offensive line, most specifically the inside of that offensive line for the Packers against Flores and his pressure. Is it blitzing Caleb Williams anywhere between 66 and 78% of the time, depending on how you rate your pressures? I mean, that's absolutely crazy to blitz that much in today's NFL where everybody plays the shell. Do you think Jordan Love, though, who can diagnose and get the ball out versus the pressure, do you think he is the save-all for this offensive line when it comes to a pressure that comes from a blitz and not just the down four?
Yeah, I think if we're talking about how this Packers team is going to win, it's more likely to happen in spite of the offensive line than in spite of Jordan Love. You heard Matt LaFleur talk after Sunday's game against the Giants, and he said he felt that Jordan Love was under duress the majority of that game, and he still played a phenomenal game. So he knows how to handle pressure. Hasn't always been the best against it, but I think he's very adept at doing so. And look, I think the offensive line has been maybe better than it's been at some points this season. Sean Ryan having a full game at center under his belt should help. I think Aaron Banks has played better now that he's strung together some good health. And then Zach Tom's always going to be solid. Jordan Morgan's still a question mark. Rashid Walker's just kind of your serviceable left tackle. So they'll be ready for whatever Brian Flores throws at them. This is not the first time that they've faced a Brian Flores defense, but I still trust Jordan Love more than this offensive line.
All right, next up for you, Luke Buck has talked, I believe it was on Wednesday, about Anthony Belton getting reps inside to kind of give some more depth there. Do you think there's any chance if Jordan Morgan struggles like he did against the Giants that Belton could go in, or is this only break glass in case of an emergency?
John, you would know this better than I do because you're in that locker room, but how much does the fact that Jordan Morgan is a first-round pick weigh into the decision that comes from above on keeping him in the lineup? Granted, he could be a better right guard than Anthony Belton right now. I get that. But Jordan Morgan, I think we can all agree, his best position is left tackle. So why isn't maybe he playing left tackle, Anthony Belton playing right guard? We always hear these guys say best five. So we have to trust them that their best five is what they're putting out there with Walker, Banks, Ryan, Morgan, and Tom. But I think it's more so just for depth. They did it with everyone from Royce Newman to Sean Ryan to whoever. If you're not a starter, they expect you to be able to play at least three positions on the offensive line. So I think that's what they're training Anthony Belton to do. And I also wouldn't be surprised if they're doing it with an eye toward the future. Your starting tackles next year are Jordan Morgan and Zach Tom. And you want to be able to find a spot for Anthony Belton in the lineup. And that's most likely going to be at right guard. So if he's, you know, training there, it can be for insurance right now and also for prep for next year.
Talking with Matt Schneidman, covers the Packers for The Athletic here on 9 to noon. You have a game in 4 days against a team that most would expect to be in the battle with the Packers for first place in the NFC North. But like you said, Matt, this is no pushover game. This is no cakewalk on Sunday against the Vikings. How are the Packers factoring all these different things in terms of the big picture, along with the injury to Josh Jacobs and how important he is to that offense on Sunday?
Yeah, I think when you're considering the wear and tear you put on these guys during a practice week and the health of guys like Josh Jacobs and whether to play him or not, that's where you start looking ahead to the Lions game. I don't think they're looking ahead to the Lions game in regards to, oh, you know, if we lose to the Vikings, we got to beat the Lions. Or I don't think it's anything like that, where it's, okay, we have a couple important games coming up here. When I asked Matt LaFleur earlier this week about this three-game stretch that they have coming up against each of the division opponents, he said, we can't look past the Vikings. That's all we're focused on right now. And I get that. But where you start looking ahead is with a Josh Jacobs decision, with a, you know, Savion Williams decision maybe, although I think Savion's just going to play. Jacobs said yesterday that what he's weighing right now is obviously he wants to play, but do you play against the Vikings and risk re-injury and then take yourself out of the Lions game because you re-aggravated something, or do you take the Vikings game off to get completely right, not completely right, but right enough where you can absolutely be yourself against the Lions? So that's definitely something they're going to have to weigh here in the coming hours and days.
If it's not Josh Jacobs on Sunday, is it a heavy dose of Emmanuel Wilson? Because Marshawn Lloyd is getting closer to playing, but he's not ready to play yet, is he, Matt?
No, Marshawn Lloyd is not playing on Sunday. He has not even returned to practice. So that will be out of the question this week and probably next week because and same for Jaden Reed. Matt LaFleur kind of implied yesterday that you don't want to open the 21-day window for a guy during a week when you're not even practicing, because you don't get the advantage of those actual practice days to see what they got. They won't be having like an actual practice next week before the Thursday game. So, you know, there's less of a reason to bring those guys back from IR. I think if Jacobs doesn't go, and my hunch tells me he's not going to, just because I think maybe common sense is going to rule out here, and especially with the Lions game 4 days after, I think you're going to see a heavy dose of Emmanuel Wilson. It was funny, yesterday Ben Sermons, the longtime Packers running backs coach, was talking about how when Wilson was a rookie, an undrafted guy out of a D2 school in 2023, he didn't trust him at all to go in the game. He said, I didn't trust Emmanuel to go in the game at all, but now I do. And it's been his pass protection improvement, his reads on outside zone. He's just a fluid runner. He can catch some passes. So there are a lot of fantasy football owners around the country who are counting on a guy they've probably never heard of on Sunday.
Matt, It was. I'm old enough to remember last week, and when the Packers had a shorter injury list than the New York Giants, but not the case this week. A boatload of Green Bay Packers are on that list. Who are we looking at going, and who are we looking at not going? Names that we need to keep in mind here.
Yeah, well, Jacobs is obviously the top one. I expect him to practice today for the second straight day, but we'll see how he's doing. He told us yesterday that the knee was about 60% down in terms of swelling, so that was good, but we'll see if he plays. Savion Williams has a boot on every day. He's going to play probably. He was back at practice yesterday. Quay Walker and Carl Brooks are the two I'm looking at closely. Those are the two guys on the 53. Well, I guess Nate Hobbs too, but we know Nate Hobbs isn't going to play. Carl Brooks and Quay Walker are the two guys who played last Sunday and have not yet practiced this week. So I would look at those two guys with regards to, all right, who's next man up at those positions? You're probably going to see more Isaiah McDuffie. You're probably going to see more Stackhouse and Brinson if Brooks can't go. So those would be the two guys on the defensive side I'd be looking at for where the Packers look to replace them.
And Lucas Van Ness, do we expect him to make his return?
I would assume so. I guess you never know. What, he returned to practice last week, practiced Thursday, Friday, didn't play against the Giants. He's practiced each of the first 2 days this week. I can't remember if he was a full participant or a limited participant.
Says limited, but, yeah.
He was limited the first 2 days of this week. But the look, he's missed five games, and I understand that when you predict how many games a guy is going to miss at the onset of his injury and you don't put him on IR, it can fluctuate a little bit. And obviously that foot has taken longer to heal than the Packers expected, but I'll go out on a limb. Maybe it's not a limb and say that Van Ness makes his return this week, which would be important, especially if Brooks doesn't go, because that's another guy that can rush from the inside.
Do we know who's kicking on Sunday, Matt?
It looks like Brandon McManus. Rich Bisacci and Matt LaFleur both really seemed pleased with the day he had on Wednesday. Bisacci had told us yesterday that it was the best day Brandon has had in a while kicking. So it seems like Bisacci, with everything else he said yesterday to us, that they hope McManus kicks on Sunday, which I'm not telling you anything out of the ordinary. Obviously, they hope their primary kicker kicks. And, you know, I don't think Lucas Haversick's two misses are the end of the world because of A, the conditions, and B, the snap and hold on the second one. The first one he should make, but it's still not the easiest of conditions. We'll see what happens today, because at this point last week, we thought McManus was going to kick. Then he kicked 2 days in a row coming off the Monday night game and woke up Saturday with some aggravations. So if he can make it through today kicking and wake up tomorrow morning fine, then I think you'll see him on Sunday.
Matt, what is it? What's it going to take for this defense to get back to where it was last year at turning the football over? We talked exhaust to exhaustion during training camp about ball king and going and getting that football, but I'm not even seeing a lot of strip attempts go on in these football games. And then when you get your hands on the ball in the passing game, we're not coming down with it. When is that going to turn?
Yeah, I think the first thing you want to see when you're asking for more turnovers is guys being in position to get them. It's one thing if you're in position to get them and you don't come down with them, which we saw a lot of on Sunday. And sure, they left plenty to be desired in that department, but I would argue it's even worse if they're not even close to getting them or not in position to get them. So at least they were in position against the Giants. They just have to come down with them. And Jeff Hafley acknowledged that when he talked with us yesterday, how despite the Packers' solid pass defense numbers, and they have the second-best explosive play rate allowed in the NFL on the defensive side of the ball, he still needs more interceptions. They've gotten, you know, a couple turnovers in consecutive games, and Hafley said last week, now it's time to get multiple in one game. And they did late in that game against the Giants. But you know, it's an interesting point you raised about not stripping at the ball as much. That's a fair criticism. But I think in terms of the interceptions is where we've seen them lack. And they're in the right position, or at least were last Sunday. They just got to catch the ball. But these guys are playing defense and not wide receiver for a reason.
Talking with Matt Schneidman, covers the Packers for The Athletic, also hosts the Tundra podcast along with our guy John Kuhn. Is that the number one thing, keeping this Packers team from who they are and who we all thought they could be, what their ceiling is, Matt, is the turnovers or lack thereof?
No, they still have a championship caliber defense, I think, even without the turnovers. Just think of how good they can be if they get some of those field-tilting takeaways. I mean, their run defense has been a little shaky in recent weeks, but I still think the biggest weakness of this team is the offensive line, specifically run blocking. And it was a little bit better last week, especially in the first half. But I think if the Packers can find a way to really establish the run early in games and get more yardage on first and second down so they're not in those third and longs when teams can just pin their ears back and rush against this mediocre offensive line, they'll be much better off. I still don't see them making a Super Bowl run without Tucker Kraft, but if they can get the running game going and get Jaden Reed back to compensate for some of that yards after catch stuff they've lost with Kraft, I think they'll be just fine.
Matt, I called this three-game stretch here the most important three-game stretch for the Packers. We're going to find out if this Packers team has a chance or if they're not going to have a chance after these three games. Do you believe that's accurate?
Yeah, obviously these games count for double because they're division games. And from a narrative perspective, they're super important because of where the Packers have finished in the division the last couple of years. They haven't won the division since, what, 2021? That's a long time here in Green Bay. And also because of how poor they were in the division last year. They were 1-5 in the NFC North. So now is their chance to not only really separate themselves in the division, but to really gain some ground in that NFC playoff race against two teams coming up in the next 2 weeks, the Lions and the Bears, who are right there with them. And don't count out the Vikings yet. They're not completely out of the picture. So these three games, I think, are massive. And especially against a coach in Dan Campbell, who not always, but has sometimes bullied the Packers. They've kind of reversed that narrative in the past, but you know, they beat them twice last year. The Vikings, albeit with a different quarterback, beat the Packers twice. Ben Johnson made the joke about LaFleur at his introductory press conference about how he enjoys beating Matt LaFleur twice a year. That's going to be a subplot I'm looking at to see if Matt LaFleur can kind of stick up to the new head coach in the division and kind of shove it in his mouth. So it'll be a fascinating 3 weeks ahead.
Oh, I did not hear this. Ben Johnson.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, he did.
He said he likes beating Matt LaFleur, huh? Are those words?
How have you not heard this? It was like the biggest story in the NFL this offseason.
Well, I was not on the air. I was not on the air in the offseason, Matt. I didn't care. I went to Siberia. I put my head under the sand like an ostrich. Okay, I was not on the air.
So
I'm excited about this. Are there billboards up at 1265 reminding Matt LaFleur that Ben Johnson said this?
No, because that game's in 2 weeks from now. So there's no point in drawing any attention to that, John. They're focused on one game at a time. You know that. No, but at Ben Johnson's intro presser back in March or whenever it was, or February, he said, you know how every Bears GM or head coach has to take a jab at the Packers to appeal to the fan base. Ryan Poles, when he took over, said, we're going to take back the North. That obviously hasn't happened. So Ben Johnson's jab at the Packers was, you know, and I've enjoyed beating Matt LaFleur twice a year. And I'm not sure Matt LaFleur then spoke to us at the owners' meetings in West Palm Beach and said he has no prior relationship with Ben Johnson. And he kind of played it off jokingly, but I bet Matt LaFleur was none too happy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Happy about that, and we'll not forget that moment when the Bears come in here in 2 weeks.
That's a game that
as of yesterday was flexed into the main afternoon spot on Fox.
Tom Brady, everybody. You got Tom Brady. You're going to listen to Tom Brady call the Bears and the Packers.
Congratulations. But we still have two games before that.
I think they have Tom Brady on Thanksgiving as well.
Ooh.
Back-to-back TB12? Oh, Packer fans are going to be excited.
You got a prediction for this one on Sunday, Matt?
I think I said 28-17 on the pod earlier this week. I just don't see how J.J. McCarthy can dice up this team. Aaron Jones still running the ball well, but I think this Packers defense makes it, what is it now, 9 out of the last 12 games holding opponents to 20 or under. And I think that the Packers finally get something going in the run game, and Jordan Love, like he has most of the season, takes care of the ball and puts up 28 points. I wanted to say 27, but John guessed 27, so I wanted to be different.
Yeah, I do that all the time. We want to be different from this guy, right, Matt? We don't want to be lumped in the same group as a John Kuhn. That's not company you want to keep.
No. Bad group.
No, I would argue that we are not company he wants to
keep. That's Matt Schneidman. Check out his work in The Athletic. Follow him on Twitter at Matt Schneidman. And check out the Tundra Pod with John Kuhn wherever you get your podcast. Matt, always appreciate the time and the insight, my man. We'll talk again soon.
All right, thanks, guys.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.